Sorry, Rick, this idea of marriage intentionally needing to be miserable just doesn't work for me. I have too many years, 21, of feeling that way. Not the whole time, mind you, but for too much of it. So, every time I have to do an exercise that involves this concept or homework, it acts like a huge trigger, not helping me move the right direction. I know there's some tongue-in-cheek in this, but really, it does send me down the wrong path. What to do? Okay, so I really don't think, obviously, that marriage is totally intended to make us miserable. All I am trying to say is, you got it, in the tongue-in-cheek, is you want to pursue the right things in marriage. And one of the things that couples have to be able to do, there are four stages that marriages go through. There's the initial honeymoon stage, and that's just everything's good and gold and wonderful, and we, you know, are gaga, and we can't believe I'm married to you. All of that stage ends, and we go to the conflict stage of marriage. And in the conflict stage of marriage, a lot of times, if we're on kind of an enmeshed path where we're looking for our mate to meet our needs, ultimately that makes us miserable. The whole point of the conflict stage of marriage ultimately is to develop, and this is called conflict intimacy, but it's the ability to learn how to see our mate and both of us be very different and still be differentiated in the process, still have our own points of view, our own intimacy, have our differences, vive la différence, but still maintain connection. That is a huge growth point for couples. The third stage, by the way, is the growth stage, and the fourth stage is the union stage. Many couples don't even reach the union stage. A lot of couples never get past the conflict stage because they continue looking to their mate to be the solution to their problem. To move beyond that, you really do start with what I would call almost like that self-intimacy, that ability, each of you, of becoming very self-aware of kind of who you are, what your feelings are, what's important, and then you begin practicing in, you know, how do we sit together kind of knee to knee, eye to eye, you know, me and me, you and me, and talk and just understand the other person's perception and begin to, even when they're different than us, be able to figure out, how do I calm down and still love you and still be with you, still connect with you, still appreciate you? And because, again, 2/3 of all problems are going to be unsolvable. The thing that's really good about John Gottman's work and that whole approach is it really looks about, how do we begin to develop positive habits, ways of doing the relationship where, in spite of the differences, we can still feel that appreciation and we can still feel love, that we don't have to be the same. Because I promise you, in a marriage, as I do the tongue-in-cheek piece, if it's about us having to see things the same way, if we continue to bludgeon each other trying to get the other person to change, or if it's about this enmeshment where we feel like we've got to compromise who God made us to be in order to just appear close, then eventually what's going to occur in that relationship is, A, you're either going to begin to look beyond the relationship because you're too miserable and there's too much negative emotion that's stuffed down just because the two of us are tied together. And guys, when you've got a bunch of feelings that haven't been able to be processed and you can't sit there and talk about it and you're unaware of it, it's like, you know, ultimately that emotion creates emotion towards some sort of action that's not going to be helpful, some sort of that negative emotion. And so just being able to learn to be honest and transparent with how you feel with the other person, talking, communicating. And in the Married for Life program, we actually talk about that. How do you begin to know how the other person's feeling? And how do you know that the other person still cares? And we give exercises to help move beyond that or develop that conflict intimacy. Because on the other side of conflict intimacy, you get to the really good stuff, which would be things like you know, the affection intimacy. Those would be intimacies like physical intimacy, spiritual intimacy, intellectual intimacy. And you want to be able to also share in those things, and not just have the conflict or the differences in the relationship drive you apart. So, you know, I hope that gives a little bit of an explanation. So all you want, all I'm really trying to do with the whole thing of marriage making you miserable is just go, okay, quit trying in the long run to think as it about being, or think about it being the other person meeting the needs. Learn how to stand on your own two feet, to have your own sense of self. And from that place, again, it's not a matter of how well you can get your mate to meet your needs or how well you meet your mate's needs. It's ultimately about how well can you love God, love others, and love self. How well can you still be real and be authentic in that relationship even when there's a difference, and still care about the other person and calm down and learn. And you won't solve everything. But if you can learn to sit with that, you also have the ability to experience the other pieces of intimacy and still maintain open levels of communication, and it causes a tremendous amount of growth when you come to that place.